Hello and welcome to Differential Discussions. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Dave.
And today we have a guest with us. We have Allie Murphy, and she's going to talk with us a little bit about project management. But before we get into that, Allie, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
So, hi, I'm Allie Murphy. I am a medical laboratory scientist. I work for a large healthcare system in the Minneapolis area as a laboratory information systems technical specialist. I'm one of three in this role across our large enterprise, and pretty much I work to coordinate projects between the LIS and the laboratory. And so with this role, I've been given lots of great opportunities to do different things outside of the general working the bench aspect of laboratory. And so I'm here to talk about that today.
Awesome. Well, we are looking forward to hearing about project management. So this came up because I found out about project management, and then I got my project management professional certification. And then I said to Dave, we should do an episode and talk about project management. And I remember reading your article in ASCLS Alley about project management. And so I guess the first question is, what is project management?
So project management is just like the general process and ideas of getting to a quality product using a just a very explicit way of doing it, a very organized and tactical approach to doing anything instead of just sort of haphazardly going along till you get some final product. It's about setting up every step for success along the way. And so it can look very different depending on the type of project you're doing, but it's about taking a very strategic approach to getting to a final product. And so in the lab, we're always looking for final products that are good. So it was a very easy thing to want to do in the lab.
So I'm laughing only because like I actually consider myself to be the anti-project manager.
Oh, man.
I am chaos incarnate. So
So,
that's all. I was just stickering to myself at how bad I would be at this.
well, I would consider myself to be chaos too. In like my regular home life, I am chaos. But it was, back in the day when I was doing grad school, I did a project where I had to interview a whole department about what are things that plague your department. And the overwhelming theme was like the general lack of knowledge on how to run a project and how to do things effectively. And so they felt really lost when they were doing things in their day-to-day work because I was interviewing the LIS department. And so that really stuck with me. Like every person that I've interviewed independently of each other all said this is the same problem that they're having. And I had a general interest in LIS, and so I was like, if I were to join that area, I'd be in the same boat. I have no project skills. If I want to do something, I just kind of go about it until it's done and hope for the best. There's no planning, there's no coordinating, there's no making sure I am asking the right people the right questions at the right time. It is just, let's just do it. And so I ended up getting a job in LIS and realizing I was in that boat of not knowing. And so I didn't earn the PMP. I earned the CAPM, the Certified Associate Project Management. So it's a step down certification. But I did that because of all that I heard through a whole department of how much they were struggling with this one idea. And then I earned the certificate to be able to help them and be able to be better in my role at the same time. So.
Well, and I think because I had never heard of this until I was listening to a podcast, and it's a podcast for higher ed professionals, and she's all about organization and all. It's really funny, and that's me. I love organizing and that sort of stuff too. Dave's like, please save me.
Yeah, well, you're the like the I like a project manager like from the womb kind of deal. Like, so it seems a very natural fit for you.
And so I had heard about it and I was like, oh, I should take this exam. Like, and so I looked into it. And so I think maybe we can even back up a little bit and talk about what is the difference between our certificates. But I think in general, lab professionals, this is going to be something that a lot of them are drawn to because we do a lot of projects in the laboratory. So We were certified through the Project Management Institute, which we affectionately call PMI for short. So if anyone hears the saying PMI, we're talking about Project Management Institute. And then really the big difference is the number of years of experience you have in project management to sit for it. I'm guessing you had to do the prep course as well. Did you have to do the 35-hour prep course?
Mine was only 23 hours,
Okay. So
but
that's also a
still a
difference.
lot.
Yes,
Yeah, still a
it's
lot.
so we had to do a prep course, and so there are other organizations you can do prep courses through. I did my prep course, so I followed basically the podcast lady, and she did her training through the Master of Project Academy, which, looking back on it, I would have rather have done it through PMI because they offer a prep course. I did the study hall through PMI. They offer like this study app that you can download, and it's basically like games and flashcards and just lots and lots of questions. And when I was doing that, the study hall, I was realizing that the Master of Project Academy was missing things in the theory that they did not teach me that were going to be on the exam. So I was learning it in the flashcards as I was doing it. So if I had to do it again, I would have just done the prep course through PMI. But what was your experience with the prep
So
and
I purchased a course through a group called Stack Skills. I believe it was Stack Skills. And they're just like some random company that puts out educational content, but it was a 26-hour project management review, and it qualified. I like called them, made sure it qualified. I picked it because it was cheap. It was like $45, and for me, that was what I was looking for, something cheap to give me enough credits to be able to sit for it. Because 23 hours is a long time to do any one thing. After I started watching it, I wasn't super. It took me a while because the educator, who was the same person through all 26 hours, had a very strong accent and it was very hard to understand. But around like hour 10, I like finally like could hear him as if he was normal. You know, like it took me that little bit. And I could follow the lectures very well. So yeah, so I did it through you know, one of the things that I love about PMI is that they let you. Pretty much, I haven't found anything that hasn't counted. So they're really good and really quick to let you know, like, that's going to count, that's not going to count. And it's been a really easy process for going through and getting the certificate. So yeah, so I did the 26-hour course, and then I bought a book. I bought a CIPM prep book and read it cover to cover. I mean, that sucker was thick, and I read it and I took all the practice exams, and I think that probably prepared me the best. That's my learning method, is just book to the grindstone, just read and learn. So it was fairly easy. Like, it took me a while, like, because it was, you know, after work, I was reading some hours here, watching some videos here, and so it took me probably like 2 or 3 months to become fully prepared. And I, you know, qualified to sit for the exam, scheduled it, and it was pretty easy after that.
And then it was 0 to 3, 0 to 2 years experience for the CA. Okay. And then mine was 3 to 5 years of experience. And then you went to a testing site and took the, did you do it at home
I
proctored?
did it at home,
Me
and it
too.
That was an experience in itself.
Yes,
So for anybody who's taken an at-home
it was.
proctor's exam, you can't use paper, you can't look away from your computer, you can't talk to yourself. You have to like move your camera around and show the proctor that there's no one in the room with you. So you literally just sit there and stare ahead and pray. I got notifications that they thought I was cheating on numerous occasions, 'cause when I'll read a question, and if I don't get it, I like read it out loud in my head. Like, I'll like mouth the words to try to get it. And they were like, "You're cheating." And I'm like, "I'm not, I swear. I just don't understand the question."
No, look, the when I took the exam, the software was so slow. It Literally, like I clicked on a question and it would think about it for 10 minutes, not 10 seconds. And then it would go do what I clicked on 10 seconds ago. And it did that for every click.
Oh, that's hard because it's a time test.
Yes. And, but I mean, I finished in like 3 hours. I think you have 4 hours. I would have been done in like 2 hours had it not made me sit for so long. But yeah, I think if someone's a slower test taker, then taking it on site would be better because you don't have to
Probably.
worry about those issues.
My test was 150 questions in 180 minutes. So that felt very daunting at the time because you're like, oh, I can barely take a minute a question. Like, oh, that's so much. But it was not, there's not like, there were some like little bit of math. But it was just read, answer the question, read, answer the question.
And a
And
lot
you
of the
could go
math is
back and,
intuitive.
yeah, you could flag it and go back to the questions you had struggled with. So it wasn't like when I started taking it, it was, I got through it pretty quickly. So I wouldn't be nervous to take the test and thinking, I'll find 150 questions in 180 minutes. Oh my gosh. It's really not. These questions aren't novels that you have to read and, create synthesized data with. It's,
You
pretty
know it or you don't,
straightforward.
right? Yeah.
It's not the MLS certification exam.
It's not the MLS certification at all. No. No.
Even some of those are recall, right? Like,
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah. I mean, some of the PMI questions are definitely more than recall, but it's mostly, I feel like, people situations that you have to think about. And but if you're doing all the practice exams and it's not bad.
Not a surprise, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's no surprises really.
So you both took courses from different organizations. Does PMI offer courses directly?
Yes.
So that's interesting that they don't mind that particular piece of the business being sort of eaten up by other pieces of the
Well,
market.
the exam is expensive.
The exam is expensive.
It's very
All right, I
expensive.
found the money. Okay.
But it's
It's
like ASCP too, where you don't have to use their materials. You have to take their test, but you don't have to use their materials or their study guides or their anything or even their CE. Like you can use anything else that you find as long as it qualifies. And so it was very much like that.
Yeah. And how did you hear
Consumer
about
friendly.
PMI?
I heard about it. Well, I had that general interest after grad school, and then I just started Googling the project management certificate, the one that you have, thinking that's what I wanted to do. And my general imposter syndrome said I don't have enough experience to do this. Working as a bench tech for years, like I, in my head, I didn't feel I had the resume needed to take that exam. So I opted to take the step down. And now I'm working towards taking the PMP in the future because now I'm doing more project management like stuff. And so in the future I hope to take it. But I wanted to do it baby step just in case I decided that this wasn't going to be the career I went towards. And if I let it lapse, like then I'd only be out so much money, and whatever. So yeah, I took the initial step because for me, a lot of what I do or like to do or get involved with is I just like to know the vocabulary of things. Because if I'm in these meetings about some random thing, I can know the science behind it and I can understand that. But when they start talking about stakeholders and buy-in and all these different kinds of plans and Nat charts and fishbone, we don't learn that stuff in school, or we do, or we gloss over it real quick. And so as I started getting involved in higher and higher level meetings, I realized like I don't want to feel like the idiot in the room. So for me, I needed a lot of back education to be able to just know the vocabulary. So when I'm in these meetings, I don't feel lost. And so a lot of it started with I just want to learn some stuff so I feel comfortable. And then I found this certificate, and I'm a overly wanting to get educated kind of person. My husband just came home. And so I felt like getting this further education was a great thing for me. I get this really in-depth education, and if I use it, great, and if I don't, well. And I ended up using it, so it ended up being really beneficial to me in my career.
Well, I think the like when you're submitting your work experience, did you have to submit work experience for your cert? Okay, so for the 3 to 5 year one, you had to submit work experience. They wanted to see the different projects that you managed. They wanted descriptions. They wanted basically they wanted you to use the jargon and say, this is what I've done in my project management. But the projects, it's such a wide variety of anything that you could submit for projects. So for me, what I submitted for projects was education related. So I basically starting up a new degree program, which I started at UMass Dartmouth, working on creating that online MLT to MLS program. And that was like almost 3 years of experience right there. Now I'm working on the same thing again at UMaine. And I basically, it's been a lot longer. So I think I had almost like 3.5, 4 years of experience in general that I submitted. But really, they're so open to what you define as a project, which I think is really nice for us, but it's really nice for them because that's going to get them a really diverse population of people certified with their degree.
It does strike me as truly interdisciplinary, though, right? Like this spans no matter what
Well,
background you're in.
the classwork, like when you take these classes, they give you examples in like construction, computer science, like those are the ones that they give you for examples, but really you can find examples anywhere of project
Even a
management.
home project. You could do project
Yes.
management for like a home rental project.
A wedding. That's what I did for my wedding.
I definitely had Excels and charts made up for making sure I planned my whole wedding in 6 months.
I think the worst part is I hadn't even taken the PME and I had like all of these, charts and things and everything. This was like 10 years ago and I had never even heard of a PME.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much has this permeated your personal life?
It has definitely entered it. I wish I was a more organized individual, but I do use it all the time in my regular career, and then in my my professional non-career. I don't know how to. So you saw my article in ASCLS today. So I'm a member of ASCLS. I'm a board of director, like a national board of director. And then I'm also a part of my state board for ASCP. So I do a lot in the professional society world. So it has definitely gotten into that world. And then I do coaching for Special Olympics. So I've gotten into setting up my coaching schedules and stuff in a more project management-esque fashion, more laid out, making sure that we cover all the basics and cover all the skills that we need to make sure that we're registered for events and XYZ. Like, it's definitely gotten into that. And then in my personal life, like, I used it for my wedding, I've used it for getting other sort of little projects off the ground that I've wanted to get done. Like, what steps do we need to take to get there? How much time do I have to anticipate? I don't like that feeling of I think this is going to go really quick and it doesn't. So I like to think through what are all the steps I need to get there to try to give myself the best estimate of how long something is going to take. So I don't get sort of upset or hurt by, like, I don't like that feeling of it didn't go the way I wanted or how I thought. So I've definitely used it all over the place without even really thinking about it. Now I look back on it and I'm like, wow, like this was a really great tool and really good thing that I did for myself.
And the other thing too that I found really interesting was I have my MBA and I got that a while ago. So I had that first and then I sat for the PMP and I did all the classwork and everything. And I felt like I learned more about leadership through the PMP training than I did through the whole MBA program.
So I had finished my master's as well, and I love to. I'm the like for the CAPM, you only need a high school equivalent. So don't think, oh, you have to have a master's to go out and do this. No, we're just overly educated individuals. So yeah, no, I had finished my grad program, then went and did this, and yeah, the leadership skills and the how to motivate and encourage people that you get through that education was really enlightening and stuff that I definitely used and changed my mindset for in the workplace.
All right, so now we have the certificates. How has it benefited you?
Well, I got the job that I have now. So I'm an LIS technical specialist. So fancy, fancy title, just meaning that I project between the lab and the LIS, so the IT part of the lab. So in our hospital system, there's 11 hospitals and 60 something clinics. So it's big. And so when we roll out a project or something that goes to all the sites or even a handful of sites, we need to make sure that a whole bunch of pieces are lined up and in order and communicated, and SOPs are changed and it's brought up in huddle, and that it's made its way to HR if it needs to, or makes its way to the providers. There's so many things you have to think about when you're trying to change even one little thing in the lab if it's impacting a bunch of labs. And so that's my role. So our LIS department's pretty small. So they don't have time to ensure that all those meetings are set up and that every stakeholder is initiated with and talked to and brought into the project. And they need to make sure that every site communicates. Well, they don't have time to go, okay, clinic number one, did you do this? Clinic number two, did you do this? So that's where I come in. So I make sure I know everybody needs to go to, make sure I know who their leaders are, how to get that information, how to follow up on that information, figure out. Does the policies need to be changed? Which policies of yours have to be retired if we're making something brand new? What providers need, what groups of providers do we need to bring it higher up in the provider organization? All these things have to be thought about, and you need somebody who has organizational skills and problem-solving skills to be able to map it all out and ensure that it gets done for any particular go live. So I think prior to having done the certification, I don't think I would have had the confidence to do it. I mean, maybe I could have done it, but I would not have been like, yes, let me apply for a job where that's the job you're going to do every day. I would have been like, I'm not prepared for that. And that's what the certification gave me. It gave me a lot of confidence. It gave me the knowledge and the vocabulary and the toolkits that I need in order to walk into a hospital and say, okay, we're going to make this change. Let's talk through it and let's figure out a plan and let's do it.
And the job you had, were you like a regular LIS analyst previous?
So I started out as a microbiologist. Then I did halftime micro and halftime LIS. And then I was a lead at a clinic for a hot second. So I jumped ship from micro and LIS and did core lab work. And then I took this role. So I was mainly a microbiologist with a little bit of LIS and a little bit of core lab thrown in. So just a little bit of everything. And before that, I had a bit of experience in cytogenetics. So I was just a well-rounded laboratorian to start with. And, fairly fresh out of school. I think I was out of school for 6 years. So I was fairly recently out of school. And then, I had the other parts of my education in place. And then I did this certification. And the certification is what landed me the job. That was the one thing on my resume that after I had gotten the job that they said that they wanted somebody who could project manage. And none of the other candidates had taken their own time to do something additional. So that's what made me stand out, because I did this on my own time, on my own dime, for myself. And then I happened to be able to apply it in a job and be successful at it.
So was it like listed as a requirement for the job? It was okay. And
No.
then, but you just had that as an extra.
Yep. Yep. So, like the job description said you'd be running and coordinating projects and all these things. And so I was like, yeah, okay, I could do that. I've not had a role where that is my exclusive role ever before, but I think I could do it. And then so and when I got into the interview and he wanted to know more about that aspect of my resume, and I told him what I had done, and he was very impressed with my ambition and thought I could do a good job. And I hope he still feels that way today.
Awesome. So it got you to where you are now, which is great. I think for me, it hasn't done anything yet. I mean, I just got mine in August, so, and it's now November. This episode will be airing in February, so it's still relatively new for me. But the one thing that it's beneficial for me is I need all the stuff that I can get because I'm tenure tracked. So
Yes.
I'm an educator, and so when you're tenure tracked, you basically have to do everything and then some. And during while you're on tenure track to get tenure, and then when you get tenure, you relax a little bit. But and the tenure track, you need everything. So the PMP will look great on my first year of tenure track for me. So nothing, it doesn't, I'm not getting any other benefits from it. Although again, I've been able to apply it to launching a new program. So I'm a little bit, I guess I'm a little bit more organized because of that, but I'm also a little bit more organized because I've done this before, so I know what to do the second go around. So I don't know how influential it's being, but when I speak to the instructional designer that I work closely with, and she'll like drop like RACI charts and like the jargon, I'm like, I got the jargon, and I'm like, I know what that is. So it's nice because it's working for the current role that I'm in and what I'm doing, and I can apply it. And like, I'm also taking other grad classes in higher ed right now, and they'll sometimes like drop jargon that's leadership, but I already know it from the PMP, and so I can kind of bring that in, which is nice.
This is one of those certifications where it's never going to hurt you
Yeah.
to have this weird, very specific knowledge. It's just going to help you. And that's why I wrote the article for ASCLS today, because I feel so often we hear about the medical ed professionals who are like, I'm in, like, where can I go from here? What can I do
Yes.
from here? I feel like I'm stuck on the bench and I can't do, like, unless I want to become a leader, there's nothing for me to do. And I wanted to express that there is other things you can do, and there's other opportunities based on the things you enjoy doing. And so that's why I wrote the article. And so it's nice that one person read it.
And then it could be applied to other things, because I'm sure industry would look at a PMP favorably. I'm sure all of the different jobs would look at that and be like, huh, that's interesting. And like it happened for you, it's not something that's really common in our profession, because I know I had never heard of it until I listened to that podcast. And then I tell everybody about it now, and a lot of people still are like, oh, I've never heard of this. So I think it's a good thing to share with people.
Yeah, I
I
think
think.
unless you work with a good project manager, like whose job it is to project manage, you don't really know. You just think that's this is how everybody just goes about doing a project. But until you see a good one in action, then you realize like this is an actual skill set with specific education and vocabulary and a whole just world of knowledge that is just really cool.
Yeah, my experience in the lab is that most projects are just dumpster fires, and that was the natural state of them.
I mean, some of my projects are still dumpster fires because I, me as an individual can only do so much. I'm still, I can't go in the lab and prepare your instruments
You're
for this
managing the
change.
fire.
I'm managing the fire, but at least I can be effective at communicating and reaching out and making sure everybody has what they need and if they have questions. And I can attempt to hold people more accountable for what they're doing. But there is a fact, like one of the hard lines that in my job that I've had to deal with is where do I stop being a project manager and where do I stop being a scientist? Because like me working from home on my computer, like I can't go into the lab and do things for you. And I also don't want to go into the lab and tell you to do something. So I don't want to have to hunt you down or do it for you. So there's like a lot of person management, change management involved in order to get people on board with the change that you need to make and explain like the benefits and why this has to happen and then make them motivated. That sounds terrible. Like, encourage them to do the part, their part in the project
Well,
without
you're
sounding.
outside some of the power structure, right? So
Yep.
that can be a bit of a challenge, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, one of my regularly occurring power struggle is that I'm in a department of three, and so I have no direct reports. We're all equal. We all just cover different areas of the hospital or the lab structure. So I have no direct report. So I can't, I'm not anybody's boss. So I can't, if I delegate something to you, I can't tell you you have to do it. So there has to be that mutual trust and respect that if I delegate something to you because my role is of a project manager and thus I need to delegate, that there has to be that mutual trust that you will do it and help us move the project along. The last thing I want to do is talk to your boss to say, you know, we're part of this project. You put so and so on, and they're not fulfilling their end of the bargain here.
Yeah, so the buy-in component is like important, right? Yeah.
Yep. I think that's one of the biggest things in my job is to get the buy-in, because a lot of the work is like regulatory compliance work. Yeah, nobody wants to do regulatory work except for select few people who are weird, but it has to be done, right? We have to apply adhere to our regulatory bodies. It's just a must. So I'm not doing this and delegating it to you because I'm just a mean person, and I'm not poking you to tell you to get it done because I'm trying to be a jerk. Like, no, this is things that we have to do, and as an organization, I've been assigned this task, and now I need you to do your part. So there's this fine line you walk, tightrope balance of being authoritative without being authoritative.
I feel that I work also in the similar structure where I don't have power over anybody. I just ask them to do it nicely and hope they all do it.
Yeah, academics is weird. Like everyone's equal, no one, and it's yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and when you're telling directors and people, you know, the highest level of the organization that they need to do things, like, it's a weird
You're
structure.
like looking up, yeah.
Yeah. But it needs to be done, and part of why you hired me is to do these things. So I spend a lot of my time making sure I'm working on relationships, building relationships, ensuring those relationships, because with all the leaders across our enterprise, whether you know they're in my group of hospitals or not, because that's how you get quality change to occur. That's how you elicit the best results, is if I reach out to you and say, hey, you know, talk to me about why this isn't getting done, or what things do you see are wrong with this. We can work through it together. And I want you, if you have a problem with something, to be able to feel comfortable enough to come talk to me. And so I have a really unique role and I love it. I like it sounds like a lot, but it's just I get to talk to upwards to like 100 people a day just for just kind of shooting the breeze. How you doing? How's the family? You know, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? We're recording this the day before Thanksgiving, so that was all my conversations today.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you say that because people usually think about, oh, we're laboratorians, like we don't want to talk to people, we're introverts kind of thing. But I think we don't want to talk to patients, right? We for the most
Yes.
part, we want to talk to, but we have no problem usually for the most part talking with other people. And I think this is a great job description, like to tell other laboratorians, like this is something you can do. Like you get to work with
Yep.
people. You don't have to see patients. You don't have to touch them, but you can
Yep.
still work with the other people. And we do have there, I think there is a large number of laboratorians that want to work with people and not patients. And so I think this is a really good
Yeah.
thing for them to know about and root.
I think hospital systems across the nation would benefit from roles like these if they don't already have one. Because who doesn't want somebody to ensure that rollout is the same at every organization within their umbrella. You know, how do you, it's so hard.
Organizational structures are getting more and more complicated too with some of
Yes.
these hospital systems.
Oh yeah. You know, we're 11 different hospitals, but we're like 11 different financial groups, you know, and because it was one hospital and they acquired another and they acquired another and acquired another. So each of them came in with their own SOPs, with their own practices, with their own way that their providers order and do things. So one of our major things, which is why I think this role exists, is that we are huge on standardizing the lab. We want your care, no matter which system you go to in our enterprise umbrella, that it you receive the same care, the same testing, the same turnaround time for that testing to the best of our ability. Obviously, like super difficult. But we don't want you to be like, well, I'd rather go to hospital A than hospital B because I'm going to be able to get what I want at hospital A, and hospital B I know won't give it to me. So we're trying so hard to standardize and be a united organization. And that's where my role and my two counterparts' roles really come into play, because we're really making sure that all of our IT changes and all of our policy changes and procedural changes go out across the entire enterprise and not just at one location, unless, you know, it's a one location sort of thing.
And then I'm sure everyone will want to know, do we have to do continuing education units?
Sure do. Sure do. Like any certification.
CEs.
They call them PDUs, so it doesn't
Yeah.
sound so bad.
It sounds worse. No, I'm just kidding.
So I think it's professional development units, so it's they're essentially the same thing as continuing education. But
So how do you go about getting them? Is it, yeah.
it's actually so for our ASCP, right, you have to get your microcredits and your chemistry credits and your hematology, and then you can get just a bunch of general other credits, right? So mine's the same way. It breaks them up into two groups. I gotta scroll down to this area. So it's the educational part and then the giving back part. So there's two parts. So the educational part, there's three categories, and you have to get credits in each of the three categories. And it's basically that, how do you do this job? How do you encourage people? How do you make sure that you're most strategic and effective? And there's all assortment of ways that you can earn those credits, whether it's a webinar, an in-person course, whether it's a mentoring session with a real project manager, whether just super easy. You could read a book on project management and it can count towards that. The giving back part is how you use project management in your roles. So it can be how you've used it, and it can be volunteering. And so it's like very easy hours to get. Those were the easiest ones. I could plug them in. You know, just doing a job at or like a one project at work, you can count up how many hours you did, and then it'll apply. But there's lots of free courses out there. If you I follow a bunch of groups on LinkedIn, and you'll find free courses all the time. And then a lot of them tell you which category it applies to you. So you just watch it, and then like ASCP, you just plug in the information. And the part that makes it really cool that ASCP doesn't do is it tells you it takes and accepts your credit like almost instantly. So you turn it in, and then you'll get an email that says you turned it in, and then you'll get an email that says it was approved. So there's that not waiting till you reapply in your 3 years, and then you have to wait that you don't get audited and all that fun jazz that comes with ASCP. This one's much quicker, much more effective. So you know, like, I have met all my categories, all my stuff has been approved. And when you go for recertification, which I just did, it's just real simple. Just like pay your fee and boom, you're done. You're ready.
What's the recertification
Three
timeline?
years.
Like
Three
window?
years.
3 years.
Yeah, because I've 2 years, 4 years, 3 years.
For
CAPM. I want to say 3 years. I think I got
I
my
think it's 3 years.
certification in. I think I got it in 22, January of 22, and then so I had to renew for January 25, and I did it this month. I did it a little early.
Yeah, it's 3 years.
Overachieving.
I know it's 3 years Because I was like, oh, I got 3 years. I'm gonna wait.
Yeah. And it's only 15 credits for the CAPM. It's only 15 credits. So
I don't know how many it
easy.
is
That's
for
super
PMP,
reasonable.
honestly. I haven't looked at
Yeah.
it yet.
I found this great site, Educate 360, and they have half an hour to hour and a half lectures, like several times a month, of all different things applying to all different areas of project management. And so, well, this one sounds interesting. Here we go. I'm just making sure you get your credits in every category and throw on some volunteer or a project you worked on, and boom, it was not hard at all. Very easy process.
That's good to hear. For me
Easier
too.
than ASCP, in my opinion. ASCP do better.
Okay,
See,
that's not bad.
I'm held hostage in this. I hold myself hostage in that I use their system and all of their CEs for recertification because I wanted to go
Ew.
smooth. I know.
Oh. Well, I'm almost in the same boat. So because I'm so heavily involved in ASCLS, you can link your ASCP account to your ASCLS account. So when you claim credit in ASCLS, which they have to be PAYS approved, so automatically ASCP will cover them or approve them. It'll automatically move it into your ASCP. So all you have to do is go in and assign what category it falls into, whether team, chem, related interest, whatever. And bada bing, bada boom, it's done, it's over. So, but I mean, I get 75 hours of CE a year because of all the conferences I go to. So, like, I don't really apply for them anyways. It's just really easy. Plus, a lot of these, there are some cross categories for PDUs from CE. So, if you take like an emotional intelligence, like for example, you take a CE on how to be more emotionally intelligent, that CE will cover a PDU because it covers that sort of, I think it's called ways of working or your power skills. Its way is power skills. So it's like how to be an effective team player, an effective leader. So if you take a course, that's about that general idea, you can apply them for both. So if you're strategic enough, you can cover both at the same time. Hint, hint, cough, cough.
I'm a two
Things to
birds, one
keep
stone
in
whenever I can. Yeah.
mind.
Yeah, when I realized that, I was like, oh, this is gonna be fun. Then you go to like a conference and you see, anything that can be generally used as a project management CE, you're like, all right, doubling up. Gotta be strategic.
Anything, do you think anything else that people would want to know about project management? Can you think of anything, Dave?
I think all of my initial interest peaks have got an alarm on my phone. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
I think I've hit all the things that come to mind for me.
I just think it's a great tool that'll take you not that long. You gotta have, 23 if you're gonna do the basic certification like I did. Gotta have 23 hours to sit through some lectures. And if they're pre-recorded, you could probably speed them up,
You
which
can.
is
That
yes. Some people
is
just
such a
talk
huge
very
life hack in
slowly.
general.
Yes. Some people just talk painfully slow. And so you just speed it up so they sound, in your opinion, normal. So, dedicate some time, study the material. I mean, it's not like your ASCP exam where it's really in detail. It's more like which tool to use at which time in your project, and who do you include and who do you exclude, and what are their roles and what are the tools you can use. Very logical when you start putting the pieces together, and then when you become a practitioner, project management, it just becomes sort of easier and easier, and it's a really just cool side of laboratory that, it deserves to have attention and strategic play so that not all your projects have to be dumpster fires, so we can have slightly better, smoother projects.
And it's
And
something cool
cool
and unique on your
AIs.
resume, like you
And it's
said.
something cool and unique on your resume. And it's not a time burden. It's a bit of a financial burden, but it's nothing crazy. You know, it's equivalent to the ASCP stuff. You don't have to join, you know, PMI and be a part of a chapter or anything like that. So it's very, you know, do something good for you and something to encourage your own personal growth if this is something you're interested in. And if you don't renew your certification, you know, at least you got this great quality education and it's something that's really practical and useful.
Absolutely. I think that's a good summary of project management. Well, Allie, thank you. We appreciate you taking the time to come and share your experience and your knowledge about project management with us. We're really happy that you were able to come on.
Thank you. No, thank you, you guys. This has been fun. And I'm always happy to chat about, you know, things I've done. So this has been a great time.
Awesome. Well, everybody else, thanks for listening.
Thanks for your time.